SBS Radio.
It's probably the most important piece of research we've done in the Dead Scapes Project. Firstly, this is, as far as we know, the first case study that is looking at the question of femicide, Indigenous femicide, transnationally, US, Canada and Australia. But of course, our main focus is Australia. This report is also, I think, very important because we bring together the different sites in which Indigenous women die outside formal custody. So whereas the previous reports we've done have been deaths inside custody in state institutions, in prisons and so on, in this instance, we are looking at women who die on the streets, women whose bodies are found in lonely parks, who are found on the beach, who die in their homes. And we are saying something connects all of these deaths in different places. And what connects it, we are putting forward, are the state policies, the types of state violence that are extended towards Indigenous women. So in a sense, we are saying that we are making a new theoretical connection here between deaths that are usually seen as isolated and separate.
Yeah, so how are these deaths part of a pattern involving Indigenous women in settler societies such as Canada, Australia, and the United States? How are they part of a pattern?
The pattern begins with the types of violence that colonization inflicted on Indigenous communities, but in particular on Indigenous women and girls and trans people. This form of violence took very specific forms: sexual violence, removal from families, trafficking across borders. These kinds of violence, we want to say, have continued in different ways and have compounded in the present. They continue to visit on the bodies of Indigenous women. So just to give you one example, one of the things that's emerged about women who go missing and are found murdered is that very often when their families report their deaths to that they're missing to the police, they hear they must have gone walkabout. You know, they must have just taken off. Because of this kind of institutional ingrained notion that Indigenous people go walkabout,
yeah,
very often those deaths are not investigated in time and people are not saved in time. So that's a very good example of how colonial patterns of thinking play out in the present.
Yeah. And why does the Australian legal system continue to discriminate against Aboriginal women and girls?
That is a very, very big question. But once again, I would go back to this question of how women are perceived and treated. We had, for example, the case of Auntie Tanya Day in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So you know about that case.
Yeah, she died following a crime that's very rarely used, the crime of public drunkenness. Yeah.
Exactly. And why is that a crime that Aboriginal women are taken into custody for, you know? So that's the sort of beginning of someone being charged with something that would not be a crime if it was committed by a non-Aboriginal person.
Yeah.
We also look at questions. One of the case studies that we spend a lot of time on is the case of Andrea Kickett, who was a woman who tried very hard to protect herself from her violent partner. And she repeatedly went to the police. She repeatedly went to agencies that were supposed to protect her and her children. And she just was not afforded the respect to believe in what she was saying. She was told, for example, that she couldn't go into protection with her four youngest children, that she had too many kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a whole series of ways in which Indigenous women get discriminated against and disbelieved and disrespected by the legal system.
Yeah. And how is it important that Australia follows in the footsteps of the US and Canada, both of which have had recent national initiatives regarding missing and murdered Indigenous women?
Yes. Linda Burney, just before Christmas, she said there should be a Senate inquiry on this topic, just as there has been a national inquiry in Canada. And the U.S. has also come up with some new initiatives. I think this is really critical, first of all, to make this issue visible, because there is an invisibility about it. We have found when we talk about, you know, the Indigenous femicide case study, there's a real lack of awareness of the extent to which this has been an issue in Australia. I think it's also part of the bigger project of truth-telling that Indigenous leaders have called for, that there needs to be a form of truth-telling and a form of understanding of what has happened, and that we don't just see the reporting on this issue as a reporting of individual stories, separate, but to see it as a systemic issue.
Yeah. In Canada, I reported on the situation in Canada. Mm-hmm. They call it actually a genocide, whereas in Australia, we're still talking about a femicide. Canadians are much more, taking it a lot more seriously than we do here.
That's absolutely true. There's been a lot more centering of the word genocide, and this was one of the controversies that emerged out of the national inquiry, the use of the word genocide, and I think finally it was accepted by the Canadian Parliament. I guess we've used the word femicide because we wanted to focus on the gendered nature of these crimes, you know. But we certainly, it doesn't mean that we're ruling out the word, the word genocide. Yeah, but we wanted to actually call attention to the ways in which women die outside custody in Australia,
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add in the conversation we may have missed and you'd like to actually bring to our attention?
The only thing that I would like to add is that we want this case study to contribute to a national discussion, a national debate, conversation about the missing and murdered Indigenous women in Australia. And for that reason, we have formatted the case study in a particular way where it's accessible on various levels. So we've been able to use, with permission, the artwork of a number of Indigenous artists who often tell this story in a way that has not been told elsewhere. So we want it to be a study that's available to people with multiple forms of literacy, multiple levels of understanding, and we want it to be seen as a layered contribution to the discussion rather than just an academic report or a legal report.
Most definitely. We'll check it online. And it's part of the Deathscapes project.
That's right. Deathscapes.org is how you access the website.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.